Let me say, I made that joke about not turning the mic up, but the fact that I didn't have a mic is nothing to do with Nick. I left my mic on last week, it looks like, and just ran the battery completely down. So I want to be clear. I was trying to be funny. Nick's doing a great job, and he had nothing to do with the fact that I had no mic. Now, Nick, if you turn it down now, no, please don't turn it down now. The omelet guy at Minerva's. I was amazed. Margie and I were having brunch with some folks one Sunday a few weeks ago. I was waiting for my omelet with one of our hosts and started visiting with the guy who makes the omelets. "Aren't you the guy that writes for Northern Express?" he asked. I nodded and said, "Yes." "I love your column." "Oh, come on, give me some love on that." Friends, I will say, I thought that was pretty cool. As I understand, line cooks lead a pretty hard life. And I don't know, maybe this guy was a chef, but even the chefs I've known are pretty tough cookies. They're the rock stars of the culinary world. So to have one say to me, out of the blue, "I love your column," that was off the hook. Now, I know what you're thinking. "Pastor Myers, we read your column too." Yes, and I'm grateful. But you're kind of like my mom. You're supposed to read it and tell me how much you like it, even when you don't. You know how you are. "I preach John the Baptist's fire and brimstone, you brood of vipers, and you come to the door. Oh, thank you, Pastor Myers, for your lovely sermon." Kind of like my mother. The omelet guy at Minerva's doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to read the column. If he does happen to read it, he doesn't have to like it. I'm not his pastor. Even if he does like it, he doesn't have to say anything. Chances are he's not even going to see me again. So when this hard-working line cook or this hard-rocking chef says, "Aren't you the guy who writes for Northern Express? I love your column," that makes my day. But maybe not for the reasons you think. Sure, pastors are people. We like to be liked. We like people to say good things about us. We know that's not always going to be the case. Look what happened to Jesus. But that doesn't mean we don't like it when they do. But that's not the reason I loved it when the omelet guy at Minerva said he loved my column. I loved it because I don't have the opportunity to be with omelet guys and line cooks and dishwashers and laborers and people who smoke and drink and carouse and gamble and swear and run into trouble with the law and make poor life choices like I once did. My circle of influence has changed. I was raised in honky-tonks. I grew up in a blue-collar family on the wrong side of the tracks. But I live in a different world now. No longer part of the crowd. I'm a follower. So when I make a connection outside of my demographic, outside of my circle of influence, it just means a little more. To have the omelet guy at Minerva's, the girl checking groceries at Tom's, the homeless guy selling newspapers on Front Street. And they've all done this. Say to me, aren't you that guy? I love your column. To know that people, many of whom would not see themselves in any church, let alone a Presbyterian church, to know that people are thinking about Jesus and asking questions about Jesus and finding some answers in my words means the world to me. These people remind me of all those people out there who are dying to know who Jesus is. Like many in the crowd on that first Palm Sunday, they may get a glimpse of Jesus here and there. They may hear some folks talking about him. Not enough to drop what they're doing to follow Jesus. They're not like Peter or the sons of Zebedee. They're not going to take up their cross or become fishers of people. But they are there. They are asking questions. They are dying to know. Who is this Jesus? Beloved, how can we reach these folks in the crowd, on the fringe? Not just so we can answer their questions, not just so we can tell them who Jesus is, but so we can be in relationship, in communion with each other, that they might help us answer our questions. That they might show us who Jesus is. For like them, we too are dying to know. Could anyone see what was happening that day? We assume the disciples understood what was happening. They had heard Jesus' teachings. They had watched Jesus perform miracles. They even had the benefit of having Jesus all to themselves so he could explain. They must have known who Jesus was. But Matthew tells us, while Jesus was heading to Jerusalem, he took the disciples aside by themselves and told them about what was to happen. He'd be arrested, tortured, put to shame, and crucified. 3 days later, he'd be raised. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us what the disciples said or did with that news. We do hear the mother of the sons of Zebedee saw this as an opportunity to promote her sons, asking Jesus to prepare a place for them at his right and his left. As we might expect, that didn't go over real well with the others. Perhaps hoping to diffuse their anger, Jesus uses that incident as a teachable moment. He says, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slaves, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Still, we have no idea how the disciples are hearing Jesus' words. Do they understand where this road is leading? Do they get who Jesus is? Apparently not, for as they were leaving Jericho on their way to Jerusalem, Matthew says they encountered a couple of blind men. The blind men cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more. Jesus stopped and asked what they wanted. "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus healed them. Immediately they could see and followed Jesus. Now, at first glance, we might say, what's the big idea? Jesus heals people all the time. But having just heard about the infighting over who is Jesus' favorite, could it be that Matthew is making a point? Apparently, these two blind guys sitting by the side of the road can see who Jesus is better than the disciples. True discipleship, it seems, is to be found in those who cry out to Jesus for healing and for life. Matthew tells us the Palm Sunday procession begins on the Mount of Olives, a place of judgment and salvation for God's people. Jesus sends two of his disciples to a nearby village where they procure a donkey and her colt for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem. Like the blind men who cried out to Jesus, the crowd sees something special is about to take place. Jesus climbs up on the donkey. The people cut palm branches to wave, spread on the road. Others place their cloaks on the donkey or spread those on the road. As Jesus rides by, the crowds cry out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." In the immortal words of Buffalo Springfield, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. The people are acting like a king has come to town, crying Hosanna, waving palm branches. They call him the Son of David. They treat him like the Messiah. But what king comes riding into town on a donkey? By now, all of Jerusalem is in turmoil. People are asking, who is this? The crowd seems to know this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. But what preacher has ever come to town without saying a word? Even so, what good prophet would ever come from Nazareth? Who is this? Friends, Matthew is messing with us. Like the disciples, like the crowd, we think we know who Jesus is. We think we know who God is. God is that divine being who has the power to do anything God wants. And what God wants, as luck would have it, lines up pretty well with whatever we want. Our politics are God's politics. Our morals are God's morals. Our prosperity is God's blessing. How do we know? Jesus is God's Son. And as long as we're in with Jesus, we're in with God. Why else would people get so excited when Jesus comes to town? Yet the signs are there. That's not who Jesus is. That's not who God is. Like the disciples, like the crowds, we think we know. But we don't have a clue. And we won't know unless we follow Christ to the cross. Only then will we discover what everyone is dying to know. What shall we say Sunday in response to recent events in Syria? This was the question I asked on Facebook Friday morning, having witnessed some of the comments colleagues posted in response to the U.S. naval action to curb Assad's use of chemical weapons. Most of the comments reflected moral indignation toward the U.S. response. None offered alternatives. Friends, I understand Christ's call to be peacemakers. But I also understand we can't stand idly by as evil people do evil things. So I offered lament rather than indignation as the prophetic voice we should offer. In response, a member of my congregation in Monmouth wrote, "Bill, lament is an appropriate way to express the thoughts Christians must be having. We regret the needless suffering and death of innocent human beings, but we also regret the need for additional violence. Much like Christ's crucifixion on Good Friday, maybe the sorrow we feel for Syria is a godly sorrow. In our world where God created and loves, maybe something good can be found." Friends, our response to tragic events, such as those in Syria, reveals much about our beliefs about God, about Jesus, about what it means to be Christian. In the days to come, we will witness even more tragedy. Jesus will be rejected by the wise and powerful. He will weep over his beloved Jerusalem. He will wash the feet of those who deny him. He will break bread with the one who will betray him. He will be arrested, put to shame, tortured, and crucified. Countless people will watch and wonder, "Who is this?" Beloved, people are dying to know who Jesus is. He is not who we think. But if you really want to find out who Jesus is, stay with him this week. Break bread with him Thursday. Stand by his cross Friday. And on Easter Sunday, you will have a better idea what everyone is dying to know. You will have a better idea who Jesus is. Truly is. Thanks be to God.